are produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KU's Spencer Museum of Art, now showing the exhibition Native Fashion, celebrating wearable artworks created by indigenous people historically and today. Details at spencerart.ku.edu.
It's 80 degrees in Lawrence, 81 in Topeka. It's 6:06.
From NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies all around the state. You can always listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, available worldwide.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar, since 1982 installing independent energy systems such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines. Then naturalized citizens make up about a tenth of all eligible voters in the U.S. It is a voting block that could be crucial in the presidential election, especially in some of what they call the battleground states. We will learn about concerns over audio delay in baseball. And we will talk about a program in Minnesota that provides a guaranteed income for artists. It's all coming up on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Crystal Bridges and their new Knowing the West exhibit, which explores new perspectives on the American West. Open now through January 27th. Tickets at crystalbridges.org/knowingthewest.
105 Live is a new contemporary music series showcasing the best new and notable music from all 105 counties in Kansas. Join us tomorrow for the debut of this new show. We have an in-studio session with the Lawrence band Likes. Plus, we will preview an upcoming show at the Bottleneck by Kansas City's Hembry. Mr. Nick Carswell is your host for 105 Live tomorrow at 5 p.m. on your KPR One stations. It's 6:20.
Supplant.
That story on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock for Weekend All Things Considered on your KPR stations.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Cherry Street Youth in Chanute, an after-school program for kindergarten through 5th grade students, welcoming volunteers for special projects, reading to the children, or to share a talent or skill. Details on how to get involved at cherrystreet.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines coming up next. Lows tonight around 60, highs tomorrow in the 90s. The time is 6:30.
Wells estimates some 30 to 35 million pounds of pecans are lost this year, out of 88 million harvested on average. New pecan trees take around 10 years to start producing nuts, so Helene's devastation will hurt the state's crop for years to come. For NPR News, I'm Emily Jones in Savannah, Georgia.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Some Kansas residents will soon pay more for natural gas used in their homes. As Dylan Lyson reports, state regulators signed off on a rate increase that will cost users about $46 more each year.
The agreement allows Kansas Gas Service to increase rates to generate about $35 million of new revenue. It will increase monthly bills by an average of almost $4. Kansas Gas Service originally requested an increase of $58 million. The company said the rate increase is the first in 5 years, and it has invested $600 million in capital improvement projects. The company serves about 650,000 customers throughout the state. The new rate begins in November. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
For the second straight year, Kansas students will have to wait a little longer to apply for financial aid for college. Suzanne Perez has that story.
The U.S. Department of Education is using a staggered approach to launch this year's free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA. Officials hope to iron out technical issues before opening it to everyone on December 1st. Education consultant Jack Wallace with YRefi says Kansas families will have to wait until later this year to file, but they should go ahead and gather tax forms and other documents to be ready.
Because once this thing does get rolled out and is working well, or working period, we need to prepare to file.
Widespread technical problems last year prompted Kansas colleges to postpone their application deadlines. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Suzanne Perez in Wichita.
For the first time since 1980, the Royals will play the New York Yankees in the postseason. Sam Zeff has a preview of tomorrow's Game 1.
The series could come down to this: the Royals' superior starting pitching against the Yankees' big bats. Royals starters have the second-best earned run average in the majors at 3.55 a game. The Yankees average just over 5 runs a game, third-best this season. The New York offense is led by Aaron Judge with 58 homers and Juan Soto, who hit 41. Of course, the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr., the American League batting champion, and Vinny Pasquantino, who just returned to the lineup. The Royals will need their middle relief pitchers to be as sharp as they were against Baltimore. I'm Sam Zeff.
The time is 6:35.
Support for NPR News, I'm Alex V. Cipolli in St. Paul.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join me, Nick Carswell, this Saturday at 5 p.m. on Kansas Public Radio for the premiere of 105 Live. We'll be starting our quest to showcase all the best, new, original, and noteworthy music from all 105 counties of Kansas. And our live studio session comes from Lawrence band Likes.
Hey, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm AJ. We are Likes.
Check out our live set on 105 Live on Kansas Public Radio
this Saturday at 5 p.m.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, and many other frequencies all around the state. You can listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, taking an in-depth look at the issues with area newsmakers and journalists on Week in Review, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. More information at kansascitypbs.org.
Stay tuned. Coming up, if you're joining us on KPR One stations, we have the last night of the proms coming your way at 7:01. The BBC Symphony Chorus, orchestra, singers, lots of special guests, music ranging from 18th century England to Henry Mancini tonight at 7 o'clock on your KPR One stations. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stick around for Snap Judgment.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming pianist Jonathan Mamora, striving to uplift and positively influence others using music as a means for service. Sunday, October 6th, 2 p.m. in the Pavilion. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu.
Clear skies tonight, low around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the lower 90s. 78 degrees in Lawrence. It is 10 minutes before 7.
Forward-thinking individuals to join their growing team. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. From your part-time controller, the nonprofit accounting specialists, providing financial management services to support stronger nonprofits who make the world a better place. Learn more at yptc.com/NPR. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Brat summer might be over, but at Morning Edition from NPR News, we're always here to help you understand the vibe of the season. Oh, and the news, too. Join us every weekday.
5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. Join us for Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from KU School of Music, inviting KU alumni to return to the 100th Annual Vespers Choir, singing alongside fellow alumni while commemorating a century of Vespers tradition on December 8th. Details at music.ku.edu.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Stoneback Appliance, 9th and Iowa in Lawrence. Locally owned and operated with over 50 years of sales and repairs. We've got your back at stonebackappliance.com.
Stay tuned. Up next, the last night of the proms. People wait for it every year. The BBC Symphony Orchestra, chorus and singers, and lots of special guests. Coming your way in just moments here on KPR1. Next week, we go back to Film Music Friday, and I know the many of you who have called in about that will be relieved, but we love the proms here, and this is the big festival of the closure of the proms for the year. It's going to be great. Stay tuned. It's coming right up on KPR. Lows around 60 tonight, highs in the lower 90s tomorrow, down to the mid-50s tomorrow night, highs topping out in the 70s on Sunday. It's 7:01.
This is SymphonyCast from APM, American Public Media. I'm Steve Seal, welcoming you to the last night of the proms. The culmination of the annual summertime BBC Proms Festival is a musical party unlike any other. The Proms is already a festive affair, its concerts famously casual and often boisterous. The last night of the annual summertime festival, though, even more so. The Brits know how to create a classical music celebration that can be just as playfully fun as it is reverent to the music it honors, and you will hear plenty of evidence of both at this concert. There are special guests, lots of imbibing, balloons, and even beach balls, and a great deal of singing along as the concert reaches its climax. Even silly costumes are fair game. And at the heart of it all, world-class music making from a bevy of celebrated musicians on the stage. This year, conductor Sakari Oramo leads the BBC Symphony Orchestra and Chorus and BBC Singers, pianist Stephen Huff, and soprano Angel Blue in a program that will swerve from Puccini to Mancini to the requisite Elgar and much more. So, sit back and prepare to have lots of fun at the last night of the proms, 2024. Welcome to APM's Symphony Cast. Georgia Mann and Petrarch Trelawney from the BBC are the hosts doing the honors in the BBC booth this year. Let's join them.
73 concerts in London, 17 more across the UK, over 6 dozen orchestras, choirs and ensembles, hundreds of conductors and soloists, a myriad works of music, some written centuries ago, some composed in the past few months. Here at the Royal Albert Hall, 125,000 tickets have been sold, and millions of listeners and viewers on radio and television have joined us from across the UK and around the world. After 8 weeks of remarkable music making, it is nearly time for the bust of Sir Henry Wood to be packed up for another year as the proms reach season's end. But before that, the annual musical party that is the last night with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, singers and symphony chorus, pianist Stephen Huff and soprano Angel Blue.
Well, in a season that's featured everything from disco and desert blues to the gigantic sonic edifices of Bruckner and Mahler, the Spanish spice of Carmen to the Renaissance rock of Florence and the Machine, we need a last night to put the cherry on a sizeable proms cake, and that is what lies ahead. There'll be a world premiere of a piece by American composer Carlos Simon, paying tribute to the Black Regiment, the Harlem Hellfighters. And as we mark Henry Mancini's 100th, the Pink Panther will also be making a stealthy appearance. Walton's first published work, and one which established lots of his trademark flourishes, Portsmouth Point, is coming our way, inspired by an 18th century etching by Thomas Rowlandson.
Stephen Bryant, leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, takes his place at the front of the stage. Turns to nod to, well, as you'd expect, an absolutely packed arena and tiers of audience members, flags flying, stretching up to the roof of this great building. Sakari Oramo, now,
makes his way onto the platform to conduct the BBC Symphony Orchestra and open the 2024 last night of the BBC Proms. Portsmouth Point, Zachary Oramo conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra. I love the way it always starts calm on the last night of the Bronzes, just like any other concert at this point.
Yes, it doesn't stay that way for a particularly long time. I also love the fact that Walton apparently got the idea for that whilst on the top deck of the number 22 bus. I think it sounds more like being on a bus than being at Portsmouth Point, personally.
Well, the stage is set, the orchestra tuned, and I think there's going to be a huge cheer when Angel Blue appears on stage, the first of a whole series of appearances that she's going to make during this last night of the Proms.
There she is, resplendent in turquoise sequins and shimmers. Angel Blue, our star soprano soloist here at the last night of the Proms, followed by conductor Zachary Oramo in Union Jack waistcoat. We're going to hear Puccini's O Mio Bambino Caro. Sing along if you're brave enough. That will be followed by the humming chorus from Madame Butterfly.
Thank you.
The humming chorus from Puccini's Madame Butterfly, the BBC Symphony chorus from BBC Singers. And Angel Blue returns to reprise a role she sang recently at the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden. Tosca, Vissi d'arte, I have lived for art, I have lived for love, and never harmed a living soul. Vissidate from Puccini's Tosca. Angel Blue clasps the hands of Zachary Oramo. She leaves the stage, her green dress shimmering.
Georgia Mann and Petros Trelawney ringside tonight. And there's a bit of score moving and furniture moving taking place on stage at the moment as it's reset for brand new music. Always a feature on the last night alongside all the pomp and tradition. And there is some of that pomp and tradition. Carlos Simon comes from a long line of preachers. His father's currently a preacher in Atlanta, Georgia. Carlos started writing music for the church choir, and that is what gave him a feel for the power of music. Petros, I would say there's a hush, but there's not a hush. There's an inflatable balloon going up in the air.
And the conductor making his way onto the stage.
Indeed, let's hope he steers clear of the balloons. We're going to hear Hellfighter's Blues now by Carlos Simon.
saluting the Harlem Hellfighters, the 369th Infantry Regiment, Hellfighters Blues by Carlos Simon, getting its world premiere, a co-commission with the Prom, Cincinnati Pops and National Symphony Orchestra from Washington, D.C. And that's paired with music from a very different world, the choral version of Fauré's Pavane. Thank you.
Havan, performed here at the last night of the proms by the BBC Symphony Chorus, the BBC Singers joining them with the BBC Symphony Orchestra in the BBC Singers now centre stage for a seasonally appropriate piece by Samuel Coleridge-Taylor. Summer is gone. BBC Singers with Samuel Coleridge-Taylor's Summer is Gone, a setting of Christina Rossetti. Summer is gone with all its roses, its sun and perfumes and sweet flowers. And it does feel like that, actually, Petrov, when you walk from Lancaster Gate over here to the hall.
Really does. And great to have the BBC Singers that moment alone in the spotlight. Well, look, a bit of reorganisation on stage now. The string players in front of us moving out the way so a piano can be moved in place, ready for Stephen Huff to perform. Huff made his proms debut back in 1985, playing Liszt's first piano concerto with the Halle. He was 23 at the time. Four decades on, he prepares to conquer the Royal Albert Hall stage once again, this time as a globally celebrated musical knight. He's going to play the Andante from the fifth piano concerto by Saint-Saëns. Huff and Saint-Saëns share a passion for travel, neither of them ever disappointed by time spent in sunnier climes. Egypt provided the French composer with his inspiration for this concerto. Georgia caught up with Stephen earlier, who, by the way, is going to be most elegantly attired this evening, and asked him first why Saint-Saëns' music means so much to him.
I think Saint-Saëns has so many qualities. You know, he's the only composer, or at least the only famous composer, of romantic piano concertos in France in the 19th century. There's no one, really, and because France was all about opera and the salon. But, you know, he wrote these concertos because he was a great virtuoso. And there are little clips, there's some early recordings, there's a little film of him playing, and even in his old age, he has such elegant pianism. And in a way, that little two-minute film clip tells you all you need to know about how to play his music. It's refined, it's elegant, it's intelligent, it's sophisticated. It's never corny or vulgar. It has what I suppose we think of as this French sang-froid, nonchalance, this sort of ease. And yet, underneath that, there's a very deep human quality, I think. It's often a melancholy there. He doesn't show it to you. He's not an Elgar. It's not the Elgar cello concerto where he tells you, you know, all that's going on in his soul, or Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony. It's there, but it's sort of hidden away, and you have to tease it out. And I think in that subtlety, the music is very, very touching.
How Egyptian is the Egyptian piano concerto that we're hearing you perform tonight?
Well, it was written at the end of the 19th century, I think, in the last few years. And, you know, this is a time when people couldn't travel, really. Certainly you couldn't hop on a plane and go anywhere. So I think people, either whether it was in painting or in literature or in music, these were like picture postcards of travel. You know, I've been here, listen to what this place might evoke a certain atmosphere for you. And I think Saint-Saëns went to North Africa when he was exhausted and tired. But it's much more than Egypt. And then, of course, in the middle of this movement, we go even further east to China because we hear the gong, we hear the sort of pentatonic scale. So it's a really interesting mixed bag. But Saint-Saëns, being the craftsman that he is, it still feels like a cohesive whole as a movement.
What makes it an ideal last night of the proms piece, this?
Well, I think mainly because there's so much in it. You know, it's really like someone opening up a bag and saying, look at all my trinkets in here, you know, and oh, that's an interesting one. And there's one effect. We rehearsed it for the first time yesterday, and a member of the orchestra, as they always do, came up and said, how do you get that effect in the middle of the move? It's really weird. It sounds like the piano's suddenly out of tune. And so if a professional musician doesn't know what's going on, you know, an audience member who doesn't read music isn't going to either. But that doesn't matter. None of us do. Saint-Saëns creates this mysterious world that all of us sort of think, wow, what is that? And I think it comes from the world of the organ, because he was a great organist at the Madeleine Church in Paris. And it's the really big distance between the notes, the bottom note louder, top note soft, that give it a sort of strange flavor. Maybe a cook would put something in, and you know, sometimes you think, what is that? Is it rosemary? Is it garlic? Is it paprika? And it's so subtle, you actually can't tell what it is, but I'm telling you, there's the recipe book.
Saint-Saëns was rather chic, I think. I've seen photos of him wearing some wonderful bohemian-looking pyjamas, which brings me to what you're wearing for the last night of the proms, Stephen. People listening may well have read in the Telegraph there was a really fascinating piece about you. You've been working with Huntsman, who I think is Clark Gable and Gregory Peck's preferred tailors. So tell us, because, of course, this is an oral medium, can you paint a picture of what you're wearing at the last night?
Well, yeah, I wanted something that would be a little bit unusual, but not sort of, you know, Liberace Mark II. So this is a something similar to what I wear normally, which is a kind of Nehru jacket. But it's a little bit longer, so it's closer to a tail jacket with a tail at the back, but the same cut. And it's in a very subtle green and black camouflage pattern. It's a beautiful material. And I don't think you'd get the camouflage unless you are quite close, although I don't know, with television lights it might just scream from the stage.
So.
So I won't know until I actually get out there on the night.
And speaking of the night, the big night, how would you characterise the last night of the proms? What's your personal experience with it, and how might you describe it to an alien that's just pulled up outside the Albert Hall? who found themselves there?
Well, it's a big party, really, isn't it? It's been, the proms is 2 months of very intense music making, from all kinds of music, the most challenging to lighter music. And then we end up on the last night, and we're all saying goodbye until next year. And there are things that are new, never been heard before, and there are things that are very familiar that we hear every year. And I think it's a wonderful mix of that. And also the fact that you have this real sense of friendship in the hall. I think there's a wonderful camaraderie between the audience members, all age groups, all countries, it seems to me. And I think it's a fantastic way that tells us how classical music can bring us all together. And that's certainly what I hope. We leave words behind and we let music speak for us.
Sir Stephen Hough, whom we are awaiting to come out and play some Saint-Saëns. He was talking about the camaraderie, Petrock. I feel like that is growing at the centre of the arena there. There's a sort of higher velocity exchange of balloons happening.
Yes, yellow and blue, which I think may be a nod to Ukraine. And about every 30 seconds or so, one of them flies from the promos into no man's land. And one of the television camera operators in front of the stage has to go and rescue it, liberate it, and return it to the promos, who are having a very jolly time. Well, there are some pink balloons as well, multicoloured. Now, Stephen Bryant's going to give the A.
That's going to get a response.
Ah, there well we go. Played, sir. Well played.
We've had the heave-ho of the piano move. That's another promos tradition, as is the party poppers, which I have to admit, every time they do it, I jump several inches out of my seat. I'm excited, though, to see Stephen Hough's, like, forest green camouflage Nehru jacket. He's described it so beautifully.
Yes, I hope it's suitable. He's going to get multiple use out of it. Terrible if it sort of suited the occasion of the last night of the proms very well, but he felt he could never wear it in public on any other occasion. He is, of course, a man of great style and elegance. When he's touring the world, he always approaches hotel breakfast rooms wearing a fez.
Does he?
Yeah, because it says it saves him sorting out, brushing his hair and all that sort of thing first thing.
I'm going to try that.
No, you can always look elegant in a fez.
Oh, look at that jacket. Such elegance.
I'm seeing it as black from here.
No, yeah, I can't see the forest. Oh, no, I can see a sort of forest green hue under the lights there. Stephen Hough. A picture of elegance taking a bow. We're going to hear him play from Saint-Saëns' Egyptian Piano Concerto.
The Andante from Saint-Saëns Piano Concerto No. 5, The Egyptian, performed by our last night of the prom soloist Sir Stephen Huff, with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Zachary Oromo. One of those moments when this vast hall of the thousands of people in it seemed to shrink somehow. You could have heard a pin drop, couldn't you, Petrov?
Yes, and I think that quality of listening that you get at the proms, which is always so remarkable, it really struck me after Simon Rattle conducted the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra in Mahler's Sixth Symphony the other night, a week ago on Friday, and he managed to hold the silence at the end for 30 seconds. It was really something quite remarkable, that sense of the roar of the crowd here, but also the roar of silence that you get here.
And here's more from Stephen Huff now.
Well, there's a man with a flair for an encore, Sir Stephen Huff. Yes, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from Mary Poppins, but with some Beethoven, who knows what else, mixed in. And that concludes the first half of the proceedings from this concert, the last night of the proms, 2024, the finale to this year's BBC Proms Festival. We will return in a moment to this beloved tradition that caps off the annual summertime festival at the Royal Albert Hall, in supremely festive fashion.
I'm Steve Seal. The Proms is the largest and longest-running classical music festival in the world. You can listen to Proms concerts at our website, but do it soon because you'll only have access to them for a few weeks. Just go to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. And from our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. That's yourclassical.org/symphonycast. Next, the finale of the finale. The second half of the annual Last Night of the Proms is when the party really gets going, culminating with lots of British favorites that get played each year at this concert, some that feature audience sing-alongs as well. You won't want to miss it. That's coming up next on APM's SymphonyCast.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KENU in KENU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us for the BBC Proms. There'll be more in just a moment. Creating a legacy in public radio is as easy as adding KPR to your will and becoming a member of the Dick Wright Legacy Society. A bequest can help ensure our on-air service will continue for years to come. For more information, visit legacy.kansaspublicradio.org. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 60 degrees. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Seal. This is APM's Symphony Cast. This week we're in London for the 2024 BBC Proms one final time this year. If you're just joining us, it's the last night of the Proms, the tremendously festive culmination to the annual summertime BBC Proms Festival, the largest and longest-running classical music festival in the world. Proms concerts are already casual affairs that dispense with the formality of your typical classical music concert. And the last night of the Proms, well, it's a highly anticipated annual party to end a season of musical parties. So let's return now to Georgia Mann and Petrarch Trelawney in the BBC booth at the Royal Albert Hall.
It's time for the second half to begin now, so not long until all the pomp and circumstance and general anthemic good times.
As I said, there's a man, I'm just looking at a man down there. Who's got a blue hat with lots of gold stars. I don't know what that means. But on his back it says, thank you for the music. And doesn't that sum it all up?
It truly does, and my cockles are warmed. Our two world-class soloists, soprano Angel Blue and pianist Stephen Huff, will join forces soon to perform two spirituals. The Pink Panther will slink into the arena, and I shall be nipping backstage to meet some of the players who make this very special night happen. But getting the second half underway now, I want to blow the starting whistle, really, because composer and arranger extraordinaire Ian Farrington has created a brand new work inspired by the great summer of sport that we have just experienced. His Extra Time was written during the last week of the Paris Olympics. Here's Ian to tell us more.
I think a lot of fun things happen in extra time, as we saw at the Euros when England went to extra time at least once. And I think there's something unexpected about it, and something a little bit tense and a little bit fun. And for the spectators, it's an unbelievable moment in a sports game. And I wanted to kind of capture some of that energy. My own children are hugely enthusiastic sports players, and I have that pang in my stomach when things don't go right, and also that joy and elation when they score and when they're on the winning team. So I had a lot of fun writing this piece, and so at one point you may hear a tennis match being played, and also you may hear the sound of a horse, for example, and perhaps even the kind of participation of certain performers in a sporting manner, as spectators might do on certain occasions.
Ian Farrington, and Zachary Oramo returns to the podium, bows deeply as we hear the world premiere of Extra Time.
Thank you.
of Time, a brand new piece from Ian Farrington, who came on at the end like a kind of flagsman. He got a red card from Zachary Oromo, didn't he?
Yeah, we had tennis playing going on between a tennis court. The orchestra became a tennis court with players from the BBC Symphony Chorus playing across them. Mexican wave.
Possibly the most chaotic Mexican wave I've ever seen.
Did get round the auditorium just about.
Just about. We're going to mark the centenary of another multi-talented composer and arranger whom we have been celebrating throughout this year's proms. Henry Mancini, born in Ohio 100 years ago. Uh-oh, here come the squeaky balloons.
The rhythm section making their way on. Not rhythm often you get a on. Rhythm section at the
I prom. Know, Stephen Huff is also back in position. The slinkiest of themes is about to make an appearance. I think the Pink Panther's coming.
Hope there's a Hawaiian guitar down there somewhere. Certainly a saxophone, drum kit, keyboards.
Theme from The Pink Panther by Henry Mancini, with Stephen Huff playing piano, bringing back memories of the Pink Panther cartoons on Saturday morning television, and of course the film franchise with the brilliant and much missed Bert Kwok as Inspector Clouseau's badly treated manservant Cato. Edwin Outwater and the BBC Concert Orchestra celebrated Mancini at the proms in that fantastic concert that you can watch on BBC iPlayer.
Well, we are off to Spain next, in a nod to the fact that we experienced Glyndebourne's production of Bizet's Carmen a couple of weeks back. Angel Blue will sing from a zarzuela, which is a Spanish operetta. It's called The Daughters of the Zebedeo. It's by Ruperto Chapi. It's all about the tangled love lives, this Petrarch, centred at a bar called the Zebedeo. Can relate. The Prisoner's Song is a virtuoso aria sung by Luisa, who works at a tailor's and is in love with the Zebedeo owner's son, Arturo. Here comes Angel.
With flowers.
With flowers.
And crimson red.
Oh, I love that red. Is that a peplum on that gown? I think she's got a peplum too. Off to Spain. The Zebedeo. From the Daughters of the Zebedeo by Ruperto Chaffee. Angel Blue giving out flowers during that, Petrock, in a wonderfully sort of coquettish way.
Yes, including one to Zachary Armo. He got a white rose that he sort of tried to conduct with, but the head suffered an accident soon afterwards. Absolutely wonderful to have Zarzuela at the BBC proms.
Brilliant. I think the gentleman promos in the front row particularly enjoyed that. But now we are heading towards the most famous element of the last night of the proms.
Sea of flags.
We're about to go into that high energy celebrated section.
We're going to shut up because here it goes. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. That was pretty good, but you didn't quite keep up in our tempo. So let's do that again. Yep.
Now the wings are, now the wings. Thank you.
Angel Blue very elegantly pulled out a Union Jack fan after singing Rule Britannia.
I like that touch. And she was in blue there. We've had her in red. She's been in blue. I see what she's doing.
Sakari Oromo returns with his Union Jack waistcoat. Thomas Arne, of course, wrote Rule Britannia. Malcolm Sargent's arrangements. Pomp and Circumstance March number one next.
Thank you.
Welcome to the last night of the BBC Proms 2024, ladies and gentlemen. Here at the Royal Albert Hall in London. I hope you're enjoying it. Let's have these last night of the Proms celebrations continue with the words of visionary poet William Blake, written over 200 years ago, with Hubert Parry's music arranged by Edward Elgar. It's the hymn Jerusalem, and please sing along.
Red, white, blue and gold paper cascades in a great shower from the ceiling of the Royal. 5,500 people link arms to sing Auld Lang Syne.
And that is going to do it for this year's last night of the proms, the oh-so-festive culmination to the annual summertime BBC Proms Festival at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Thank you to our colleagues Petruk Trelawney and Georgia Mann in the BBC broadcast booth at the Royal Albert Hall, and indeed, thanks to all the musicians, announcers, technical personnel, and everybody who made our summer series of programs from the BBC Proms Festival such a success here on SymphonyCast. Proms concerts are available on our website for only a few short weeks. To hear them again, head to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. While on our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. APM's SymphonyCast is produced by Daniel Nass, with technical director Michael Osborne and assistance from Tania Major. I'm Steve Seal. We'll see you again next time on SymphonyCast. This is APM, American Public Media, bringing music to life.
Thanks for joining us for tonight's broadcast of the last night of the BBC Proms. If you enjoyed this broadcast and would like to hear it again, you can do so for a limited time over at yourclassical.org/symphonycast. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Jazz with Bob McWilliams. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 60 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer with a high in the lower 90s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Israel has carried out a series of airstrikes near Beirut that have cut off the main border crossing between Lebanon and Syria, a route tens of thousands of people use trying to flee the Israeli bombardment. Israel says Hezbollah uses that crossing to transport military equipment across the border. Meanwhile, President Biden says Israel might not sign a ceasefire agreement before the U.S. presidential elections.
No administration has helped Israel more than I have. None. 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 And I think Bibi should remember that. And whether he's trying to influence the election or not, I don't know, but I'm not counting on that.
Biden made a surprise appearance at the daily White House briefing today, his first such appearance in his presidency. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigned in the battleground state of Michigan today, starting in suburban Detroit at a firehouse, and then later in Flint, reminding the crowd that the election is coming up soon.
32 days, and we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end.
And she talked about the strong jobs numbers out this morning with the creation of 254,000 jobs last month. But she also noted there's work to be done to bring down the cost of living.
And I have a plan on lowering costs on everything from health care to groceries, including taking on corporate price gouging.
The head of the UAW, Sean Fain, appeared with Harris. Now, that union has endorsed her, but the firefighters union says it won't support either candidate. They endorsed Biden in the last election and a string of Democratic candidates before that, all except for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Former President Trump was in Georgia today and will be in Butler, Pennsylvania tomorrow, where he survived an assassination attempt in July. Oklahoma Superintendent of Schools is requiring Bibles in classrooms, but as NPR's Jason DeRose reports, the official guidelines for what kind of Bibles are raising eyebrows.
According to the bid documents for the 55,000 Bibles Oklahoma wants to buy, only the King James Version is allowable. But the volumes must also include specific non-biblical material, the Pledge of Allegiance, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And no critical commentary on the biblical text is allowed. One of the few readily available Bibles that meets these requirements is the God Bless the USA Bible that former President Donald Trump has endorsed. Oklahoma Superintendent of Schools Ryan Walters, who's drawn praise from Trump, has called public schools atheist indoctrination centers and the state's teachers' union a terrorist organization. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. 100 years ago, a fungus began laying waste to the towering chestnut trees of the eastern U.S. Harry Daniel reports new research, though, out this week looking at how those forests have evolved in the wake of the trees' disappearance.
By 1977, in Shenandoah National Park in Virginia, chestnuts had largely been replaced with oaks. When researchers returned to the same site more recently, they saw a place even more changed, one dominated by birches and maples, trees found in less mature forests. Richard Carbon at UC Davis surveyed the forests not quite 50 years apart.
We are losing species at an unprecedented rate, and the effects might not become visible for decades.
Carbon says the eventual form an ecosystem assumes after the loss of a foundational species might just take a while to play out, but he's concerned the changes in the forest appear to have accelerated. For NPR News, I'm Ari Daniel.
Hiring picked up last month after employers added around 250,000 new jobs in September, more than economists were expecting. And the Labor Department says job gains for July and August were also revised up by a total of 72,000 jobs. And the unemployment rate fell slightly to 4.1%. The report shows jobs were created at restaurants, retailers, and in construction. And the average wage also rose. It's up 4%. From a year ago. Wall Street higher by the closing bell. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org.
Pianist Cyrus Chestnut opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR with his tune entitled Sweet Potato Pie and Kool-Aid. Joined there by Christian McBride bass and Carl Allen drums, a double album from the Japanese Alpha label in 1992 called Nut. Good evening. Welcome to this Friday night edition of Jazz in the Night. We've made it through another week. I've got some terrific new music from guitarist Peter Bernstein in a band that includes Brad Meldow at the piano. We'll be doing that in 7 or 8 minutes. And a bit later into the vinyl vault for one of the great ballad players in the history of the music, we'll be hearing Art Farmer on flugelhorn. Coming your way on Jazz in the Night. Support for Jazz Night on KPR comes from the Noto Arts and Entertainment District of Topeka, presenting a celebration of Souls Day of the Dead in southern Mexico. Exhibit features photography of the Oaxacan Memorial Holiday. Opens October the 4th. Info at Explore Noto, that's N-O-T-O, explorenoto.org. Here's a new big band outing. Trumpeter Bill Warfield and the Hell's Kitchen Funk Orchestra, the name of his big band, and this is going to be an arrangement and a composition by pianist Cecilia Coleman. It's called The Message here on KPR.